Just to add to the blessings that we've been having today all day long, I feel like God has been cooking something in Emmanuel Church. And this morning, Brother Lucian spoke about the miracle of the loaves and the fish, the feeding of the thousands. Then we were taken back in time. Pastor Lazar Gog had a wonderful message about the crippled son of Jonathan, brought at the table of the king, where the king was taking care of all his needs. And great feasts, what great feasts could have happened in David's court, at David's table. And then tonight, we started with the vegan diet of Daniel and his friends, and how God kept them fat on a vegan diet so they wouldn't be killed. Something's cooking in the house tonight, because I'm about to talk about something similar when God gets hungry. I'm going to talk about what God eats and what God likes to eat tonight. And then we're going to go have food, and it's going to be good. All right? So bear with me, and praise the Lord for everything. We had a great worship service, and these wonderful kids, it just warms my heart to see these wonderful little girls that are singing for God. Boys, if you're out there, you have to outdo them. So we want to see more boys up here. Let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 4. I'm going to just read two verses, actually, one from Luke chapter 4, Luca capitolo 4, and Romans as well. We're going to read a short passage from the book of Romans, from Romans chapter 12. I'm going to try, like Brother Mishka did, to pepper in some Romanian here and there. He tried to pepper in some English in his Romanian sermon. I'll try to do the same in my sermon. So God help us all. Luke chapter 4. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." But Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Amen. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." Amen. Praise the Lord. When God gets hungry, it's interesting to think about that. The hunger of God. The temptation period is over. Jesus spends 40 days in the desert with no food. And the enemy comes in the moment when he's weak, when his resources are depleted. And he starts offering solutions. Turn the stone into bread. A temptation we have all the time, right? It's natural and normal to feel hungry. But the devil tries to bring an unnatural solution to a natural problem. What do you do when you have a legitimate need, but an illegitimate solution? A legitimate need, but an illegitimate solution. What do you do when you have the right to be hungry, the right to be loved, the right to be angry, and the enemy is telling you to take it to the next dimension? This is not a stone. This is bread. The devil comes with his deception. This is not a drug. that you smoke. This is like Tylenol or ibuprofen. It's just, it's a legal drug. We have a legitimate need, but an illegitimate solution. This is how the devil works. And Jesus, of course, there's no doubt, Jesus is anointed. Jesus is anointed. But just because you're anointed doesn't mean that you're not hungry. Just because you're the Son of God, it doesn't mean that it doesn't stop you from being hungry. Of course, God could have provided for Jesus miracles from heaven. We've seen that he provided manna from heaven. We've seen that he's the God who multiplied the oil, the flour. Deuteronomy 11:15, he will give grass in the fields for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied. It's like God's always stuck in the kitchen, always making something good for his people. And he could have done it. And it's beautiful how Jesus replies. Man does not live by bread alone, right? But by every word, praise God. I remember Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well. You guys know the story. He sends his disciples out to find food. And they come back, and they offer Jesus their food, and he says, I've already eaten. I'm not hungry anymore. Because what I have, he says, I have food to eat that you know not of. I have food to eat that you know not of. Eu am o mâncare pe care voi nu o cunoașteți. You see, what they didn't know is that while they were away looking for fast food to bring to Jesus, he was feeding her, but she was also feeding him. She was also feeding him. What feeds me is different than what feeds you, Jesus is saying. You know, the only thing we want to talk about these days is what God does for us. Bless me, Lord, because I need to be blessed, right? And we have become a group of narcissistic Christians who have lost all sense of responsibility that we have to God. That you don't just come to church to get, you come to church to give. It's not always about your hunger. You come because God is hungry for you. He is hungry for your praise. He is hungry for your love. He is hungry for your commitment. We're always telling you what God will do for you. We need to start teaching you what your responsibility is to God. And this one-sided style of preaching and teaching and even parenting has produced some strange human beings. The reason marriages don't work, why we're in a church that we don't even go to, it's because we're self-consumed. It isn't just about you and your relationship. It's not just about where your parking space is at church or whether you're going to sing a solo tonight or whether they're going to be using you at the usher's team. It's not about you. Silence there. Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, brethren. Paul is begging. Paul is on his knees begging. I beseech you, brethren, to give yourself, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Să aduceți trupurile voastre ca o jertfă vie. Vie. These are Christians, but they're not conformed. They're not delivered. They're not consecrated. They're Christians, but they're not conformed. They're not delivered. They're not consecrated. They were Christians. That's why he calls them brethren. Therefore, brethren. But they're not conformed. You are a brethren that will not feed God, is what he's saying. You are priests without an offering. Sometimes Christians. Part-time Christians. Christians when your mom is sick. Christians when you need a job. Christians when you're trying to get married. Christians when there's a lump in your breast. Christians, when you're trying to buy a house and God is hungry, God is hungry for real Christians. See, we live in a society that is obsessed with success. We love success. The more successful you are, the better you are in society, right? We glorify success. We worship at the altar of success. But what God is saying is, that's not what feeds me. What feeds me is sacrifice. God eats sacrifice. And how do you teach sacrifice to a generation who has an appetite for nothing but success? If you really wanted to empty out this place, we would hold a sermon on nothing but sacrifices. Week in and week out, we talk about sacrifices. And you'll see how few people come to church. If you want to pack it full, we can talk about success. 10 ways to start a business. 5 ways to find the perfect love of your life. 12 ways to buy a house with no down payments. Everybody would come. You start talking about sacrifice, and you really want to empty out the place. You know, so many women want to get married. It's a beautiful thing. And they start thinking about the wedding before it even happens, right? You start to imagine yourself, and you start to visualize the wedding. And you want to get married, and it's a beautiful thing. You don't think about the toilet seat being lifted up, or the fact that in time you're going to find dirty socks under the bed. You don't think about that, or the snoring, or any of the things that you're going to have to go through. Because you care about success. You're not going to have to think about the things you're going to have to sacrifice. Your weekends with your friends, other things that you did. You want success without the sacrifice. There's so many women that want to have a baby. They talk about it to each other. It's wonderful to have a baby. You like the idea of having the baby, of holding the baby. You don't like to go through the pain of being in the hospital with your legs spread open, pushing out a live human being. And that pain that you have to go through, because you're in love with the idea of success, but you don't want to go through the sacrifice. I remember our first baby, going with Simona to the emergency room, and I had no idea what to do, of course. They told us, oh, she's not ready yet. You have to go take her for a walk and walk around the hospital. And am luat-o de mână pe Simona și ne-am dus și ne-am plimbat în jurul spitalului, că ceva să se întâmple. Ne gândeam noi că dacă tot, she moves. And she was in incredible pain. And I thank God then for making me a man. I said, thank God that I don't have to go through what she's going through. So many people want to have a baby, but they don't look at the pain of raising children. The pain of giving birth, the pain. You want success, but you don't want the pain. You want success, but you don't want the sacrifice. There is no success without sacrifice. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, to give your bodies as a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. We're not used to this language of a living sacrifice. Maybe those of you who were raised in Romania were able to have the experience of seeing a little lamb born, come to life out of its mother's womb, and seeing how it's taking its first steps, and then how the lamb was growing up right before your very eyes. And then your father, the tiku, took the lamb just when it was getting big enough, put it on the altar and slit its throat. And you saw it as a child, the wiggling lamb upon the altar, the living sacrifice, the living lamb. That visual we don't have. We think of sacrifice like writing a check or giving an offering. The sacrifice meant that it would be a life that would be put on an altar. and it would be uncomfortable, and it would be a cold altar, and it would be sharp, and it would be dramatic. That is what sacrifice looks like, brothers and sisters. That's sacrifice. It hurts. It's painful. And you're wiggling, tied to the altar, alive on the altar. Christ on the cross, hanging on the altar. And it wasn't the nails that were keeping him there. It was the love that he had for you and me that was keeping him there alive on the altar. A living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Jesus is saying, Paul is saying, God is telling you to get used to being uncomfortable as a Christian. Get used to being uncomfortable. You want to be happy? I beseech you, brethren, to live uncomfortable lives, to be okay with being uncomfortable. You keep trying to be happy, but the crosses that you're nailed to are not made of wood. See, when we think about crosses, we think about wood. The cross that you're nailed to may be a marriage that won't work, the pain of a childhood that won't go away. As long as we talk about something like wooden crosses, we can all shout and praise God and lift our hands in the air. That thing you asked God to remove from your life, and it's still there. That thing that you're asking him to fix and he won't fix. That pain that won't go away. The change that he won't change. You feel stuck. It makes your life hard and uncomfortable. Have you ever considered that that may be your cross? Your place where God teaches you humility. The place where God teaches you what love is all about. Maybe God gave you that man or that woman so that you could learn what real love is. What real love is all about. Loving someone who is unfaithful and inconsistent. Loving someone who doesn't understand. So that you will understand what God goes through loving you. So that that becomes your living sacrifice. Nailed to a church that won't grow. Nailed to a marriage that won't change. Nailed to a relationship that's going nowhere. This is your dying place. This is your dying place. And every one of us in this room has a dying place. Every person here has something in your life that contradicts everything in it. The part of your book that you won't write. That paragraph in your biography that you leave out. That thing that you don't put on your resume. There's a part of your testimony that you never give anywhere. That is your altar. That is your sacrifice. How many of you watched the game, the tennis championship on Saturday with Simona Halep versus Serena Williams? No? Nobody? A historic win, right? But what I loved was the press conference afterwards. Româncuța noastră, asta Simona, that's what they call her in Romania, this little tennis player. She was brought before the press conference and she was asked, how did you win? They wanted to know how she beat this giant of tennis, Serena Williams, 24 championships, 24 Grand Slams, 7 of them at Wimbledon. And yet she falls to this small, tiny Romanian girl. Right, Kyle? You got a fan there. And they asked her, how did you win? What was the secret? And I love what she answered. She said, I stopped thinking about her, and I thought about what I needed to do. I didn't think about this giant in front of me. It's like she wasn't even there. And I was focusing on my game. You see, what the devil wants you to do is to focus on him. And so many of us are focused on the devil. Ai, ce-a făcut diavolul iară. And we give him so much credit for everything. And when you stop focusing on the devil and the things that he's trying to show you, see, that's what the devil is trying to do, to get Jesus to focus on him. Here, turn the stone into bread. Let me show you the world. Focus on me. Talk to me. Have a conversation with me. Enter into dialogue with me. The devil's always trying to get you to focus on him. Christ is saying, turn your eyes upon me. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Focus on the game that's at hand, and not on the opponent in front of you. A living sacrifice. Christianity is such a wonderful thing, you know, as long as we talk about it in metaphors. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you. We could sing that all day. But how about, at my job, where they won't give me a raise, and where everybody hates me. You don't want to sing about that, right? In the bed, with someone who doesn't love me. No. We stop right there. When things are hurtful to us, that's the real cross. The real cross where you die, the dying place. God gave you a dying place and a cross so that you can become a living sacrifice. He gave you that child for a reason, the one that broke your heart for a reason. Everything else you're successful at, but your child won't listen to you. You come home and you can't deal with that child. Everybody loves you at work, but then you come home and you fight with your wife or you fight with your husband and you wonder why. Why is everything going so well? It's what humbles you. It stops you from being arrogant, looking down your nose at other people. It's something in your life that you're tied to, that's cold and it's sharp, and it's the altar where you have to bring a living sacrifice. We don't have to teach you prayer because your situation taught you prayer. We don't have to write a book on prayer because that place, the dying place where you're at, taught you how to pray. And God says, praise me when your feelings are hurt. Praise me when you're unhappy. Praise me with an affliction in your body. Get your cane and come to church and say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Bring your family to church and say, blessed be the name of the Lord. And you may be broken and you may be still working through things and it still may be painful. Bring them to church. Tie them together on the altar of love and say, I beseech you, brethren, therefore, bring your bodies as a living sacrifice. You've been saying that when I'm going to get out of this, I'm going to praise the Lord. God says, no, that's why I'm keeping you in. That's why I'm going to have you stay more so that you can praise me while you're in trouble. So you can learn how to praise me. You don't wait until the wall falls down. You stay and shout in front of a wall until it crumbles. And you praise the Lord like they did in Jericho. Hebrews 13:11. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp. Outside the camp. So Jesus also offered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, he let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. Outside, brothers and sisters, is where the sacrifice happens. Outside is where the burning happens. You come here to worship, and you go out there to get burned. Burned. Every day as a living sacrifice for him. Let's all stand. I don't know what the altar is tonight. in which you are bringing your own self as a living sacrifice. I want you to think about it. I want you to think about that thing in your life that you're praying for God to resolve, to make it go away, to fix it. And perhaps that is what God is intending for you, is to stay there in cuptorul acela and to cook for him. Because God eats sacrifice. Because God eats sacrifices of praise from the mouths of people who are going through pain and suffering. And if you are going through pain and suffering tonight, and if you are dealing with something tonight that you want to bring to his altar, I want you to worship him with all your heart and all your might. And that is going to be the greatest sacrifice that you can give him tonight, a sacrifice of praise. Does he deserve it, brothers and sisters? Does God deserve your praise? Let us come before him with a living sacrifice. Offer yourself to him, a living sacrifice upon the altar where he put you. Maybe your altar is this church, and God's been dealing with you and telling you to work and stop complaining about everything that's going around, and work and offer yourself. I beseech thee, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Let us pray.